Well, this term we are continuing to go through John's Gospel, and we're up to John chapter 3 and verse 22, and Caroline's going to come and read for us the bit that we'll be focusing on tonight.
John 3:22, it's on page 1066 in the Church Bibles. After this, Jesus and his disciples went out into the Judean countryside, where he spent some time with them and baptized. Now John also was baptizing at Aenon, near Salim, because there was plenty of water and people were coming and being baptized. This was before John was put in prison. An argument developed between some of John's disciples and a certain Jew over the matter of ceremonial washing. They came to John and said to him, "Rabbi, that man who is with you on the other side of the Jordan, the one you testified about, look, he is baptizing and everyone is going to him." To this, John replied, "A person can receive only what is given them from heaven. You yourselves can testify that I said, I am not the Messiah, but am sent ahead of him. The bride belongs to the bridegroom. The friend who attends the bridegroom waits and listens for him and is full of joy when he hears the bridegroom's voice. That joy is mine, and it is now complete. He must become greater, I must become less. The one who comes from above is above all. The one who is from the earth belongs to the earth and speaks as one from the earth. The one who comes from heaven is above all. He testifies to what he has seen and heard, but no one accepts his testimony. Whoever has accepted it has certified that God is truthful. For the one whom God has sent speaks the words of God, for God gives the Spirit without limit. The Father loves the Son and has placed everything in his hands. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. But whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on them."
But let's turn our attention to John chapter 3 now, and more importantly, let's turn our attention to Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. And we pray that as we spend this time in it, that you would open our eyes to see what is here, that you would grant us not simply understanding and knowledge, but knowledge of Christ, and that you would awaken in us the right response to that you want, that we would put our trust fully in him, that we would love him more and more. Amen. Okay, quick show of hands. Who's seen somebody famous? Put your hand up if you've seen somebody famous. It's a good number. I think I have seen somebody famous several times, but I'm not quite sure because I'm actually really terrible at recognizing faces. But there's a bit of a pattern in my life that every time I see a celebrity, it is a celebrity that I don't know. So one time I was in New York and I saw across the road some men getting out of a limousine. It was one of these huge ones, darkened windows. They were obviously very well dressed. They were suited up. They had a fair bit of bling. And I thought they seemed like rich people. And my friend who was with me said, "Do you not know who they are?" And I said, "No." And they said, "That's Boys to Men, the classic 90s R&B group." Blank expression. Yeah, that was my expression too. My knowledge of American 90s hip-hop is about what you would guess from just looking at me. To me, they were just men across the road getting out of a nice car. Another time, I was working as a waiter at an event that was attended by snooker legend Jimmy White. And again, I had no idea who he was. People seemed to be paying him a bit of attention, but to me, he was a guy on a table, on top table, in fact, who took his coffee with milk, if I recall correctly. It's just a man at a table. Who knows which other celebrities I've unwittingly walked past and not recognized because I didn't have somebody to point out who they were. Now, you could probably forgive me for not recognizing Boys to Men or a famous snooker player, but what is less understandable is how anybody who is a disciple of John the Baptist can think of Jesus as just a man across the road. And yet, that is what happens here in verse 26. They come to John and they say, Jesus is that man who was with you on the other side of the Jordan, the one you testified about. Have you been following along with the early chapters of John? This is actually quite a shocking thing for them to say, because these are disciples of John. They've committed their life to kind of following John, to listening to his message. And John's entire thing is talking about Jesus. It's pointing people to Jesus. It would be like if I had really joined a Boys to Men fan club, had signed up to all the message boards, had watched all their music videos, and then I see them and simply say, oh, there are some guys across the road. John has been saying about Jesus, look, this is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And when he said that in chapter 1, his followers, they did what he wanted them to do. They stopped following him, and then they started following Jesus. That's what John wants. And his followers in chapter 3 have heard this message. They know that John has been testifying about Jesus. They know he's been witnessing about Jesus, and they know that Jesus is right there. And yet they are still hanging around with John. To them, Jesus, in spite of all John's effort at showing them who this man is, how great this man is, Jesus is simply the man who was with you across the Jordan, the man across the road. Last week in chapter 3, in the first part of it, we were looking at kind of the weaknesses of spiritual leadership in Israel. We had met this rabbi, this teacher, this great teacher of Israel, Nicodemus, and yet he didn't know the way to God's kingdom. He didn't know the way into God's kingdom. He was stuck on the basics of how we are supposed to relate to God. It was a failure of leadership. Jesus kind of gently rebuked him, said, you're the teacher, and you don't know this. And we're continuing that theme of leadership this time, but from a slightly different angle. So where last week with Nicodemus we saw a kind of bad example of spiritual leadership, this week with John we get the good example. Now, last week we were seeing how Jesus takes that role of teacher and that idea of a leader, and he fulfills everything about it. He is the ultimate teacher. He is the ultimate leader. The Lord is my shepherd, as we've been singing. He is kind of the pastor. That's what that word means, the shepherd, the one who cares for us, the one who protects us. But while Jesus does ultimately fulfill that role of teacher, of shepherd, of leader of God's people, there is still a place for other teachers, for other shepherds, for other pastors, if you will. In Ephesians chapter 4, it says that Jesus Christ gave pastors and teachers to the church to help us all to be built up. And so there is still a place for human spiritual leadership, even though we do have Jesus as our ultimate leader. So what we're thinking about here is John the Baptist as an example of healthy spiritual leadership under God, under Christ. And therefore, he has something to teach us whenever we find ourselves in the teacher role, in a position of spiritual leadership, or perhaps even influence over others. Now, that includes the kind of more formally appointed positions you might hold in the church or in the CU or in any other kind of Christian organization, or perhaps going out as a missionary. it also includes those less formal ways in which we have influence and can positively impact other Christians, that we can kind of mentor others, those who are younger than us or younger in the faith than us. It includes, like John the Baptist, our sharing of the gospel with people who don't believe in Christ yet. So John has something to teach the teachers, but he also has something to teach the disciples. To help us with the question of how are we to relate to those who are in positions of spiritual leadership or who have influence over our walk with God. I'm not just talking about kind of pastors and missionaries here, but this includes every time that you hear somebody else teach. Every single person who has an influence over your spiritual life, whether in your family, in your group of friends, in your CU, in your church, even those well-known Christians whose books you read, whose podcasts you listen to. How do you relate to them? What is it that we are to look for when we are choosing our teachers? Obviously, for Eden, this is something to think about as we appoint a new pastor. But also, generally, what is it we look for when we are deciding who to allow to have a say in our spiritual walk, in our walk with Christ? How are we to relate well to those teachers when we know who they are? Now, I've given two groups there, the teacher and the disciple. Most of the time, and in different roles and relationships, we will probably be a combination of both of those things at the same time. There are some of our relationships in which we will be a bit more of the teacher, whereas in others we will be more of the disciple. And in both of those roles, there is a real danger that we see highlighted in these verses in John. There's a danger for the teacher and a danger for the disciple. The event that starts this conversation is Jesus baptizing people in the same area, the same region as John has been doing. And this makes John's disciples nervous. They say, look, he's baptizing and everyone's going to him. Jesus' ministry is taking off a bit. It is getting bigger crowds than their beloved teacher, John. His church is bigger, if you like. And even some of John's disciples, like Andrew, have been leaving Team John and joining Team Jesus. And John's loyal supporters, his helpers, his kind of fan club, if you will, are worried about the long-term impact of this on John the Baptist ministries. In their mind, this is a Jesus versus John situation, and if Jesus' numbers keep going up and John's keep going down, eventually this good thing that they have with John will be over. John will be out of a job. See the disciples' danger. The problem here is the same one that people in John's gospel often have with the miracles that Jesus has been doing with these things that John calls signs. They're called signs because they're supposed to point to something. Now, for example, just look at that up there. Just look up on the ceiling there. You all looked, which is what you should do when somebody points. What people have been doing with Jesus is they've been seeing the signs and just looking at the pointing finger and saying, yep, you're pointing. That is all that they've been doing. They've been entirely missing everything that John has been aiming for. He's been directing them to Christ. He's been testifying about Jesus. He's been pointing to Jesus. The problem is not here with the teacher. John's been doing his job properly. He's been pointing to Christ. And they know that. They understand that he has this ministry, this work where he's testifying about Jesus. And so why are they not, like Andrew, like the others, why are they not going to Jesus? Why are they here just hanging around John, enjoying his pointing ministry and the passionate and the faithful and the dynamic way in which he is pointing to Jesus, and yet they are still there with John? we can often fall into this trap with our teachers. We can enjoy hearing good teachers. We can become so loyal to those teachers. But do we follow where they point us? I'm talking about good teachers here, the ones who point us to Christ. What is good about them is that they point us to Christ, but do we actually go where they follow, or do we just enjoy the wonderful way in which, the wonderful technique, the wonderful style, the wonderful charisma with which they point? It's good to appreciate good Christian teachers of all kinds, those who have a positive impact on our life. But it's easy to become just fixed on the messenger rather than the message, to be fixed on the Christian rather than Christ, to get kind of stuck in this church level rather than going where church is meant to point us, which is to Christ. And what John's disciples are doing here is they're giving him the place in their life that actually belongs to Christ. Is our deepest loyalty with our Christian teachers, or is it with the Christ who they point us to? I think we know what the right answer ought to be, but it's good to, from time to time, to keep checking our heart that this is actually the true answer, that this is actually the state of things in our inner life. Leadership is good. It is something that is appointed by Christ. Christ has given us these good teachers. It's a wonderful gift from God when we do have teachers who can teach us about Jesus, who can teach faithfully from his word with wisdom, with intelligence, with creativity, with faithfulness, with all of that. And we thank God for them because they do have a part to play. And no doubt John the Baptist was an excellent teacher. Jesus himself says of John in Luke chapter 7, "I tell you, among those born of women, there is no one greater than John." There's a compliment. There is no one greater than John. He is the real deal. He is a teacher who has committed his life to Christ. His every word is dripping with love for Jesus, with humility before Jesus. And John's followers are really enjoying that. They're really appreciating that. But in all of this, Jesus has been relegated to become that man John was with. John has a relationship with Jesus, but they don't. To them, Jesus is just that man. Not the man I can follow, but the man that John follows so well. Sometimes we need to learn to let go. To let go of those who lead us to Christ and actually go to Christ. This doesn't always mean that we say goodbye to them. Like I say, there's still a role for the teacher, but we need to let go of that attachment, let go of that tendency to let them take the place of Christ. It doesn't mean we stop listening to those teachers. It means we actually listen to them. When they point us to Christ, we go to Christ. That is the best way that you can thank a good teacher, because that's why they do it. That's the disciples' danger, to stay with the teacher and to miss Jesus. But there is a teacher's danger too, a danger we are to be careful of whenever we find ourselves in that teacher position of having a role in imparting knowledge of Christ to others, in encouraging others to follow Christ. And the teacher's danger is to enjoy the attention a little bit too much, and to start to encourage it, to start to encourage a bit of dependency on ourselves. We don't see this in John. Rather, we see him recognize this danger and run from it. In verse 27, he says, a person can receive only what is given them from heaven. That's kind of a review of the first half of chapter 3, where we were told you can't receive Jesus unless you've been born from above, unless God has sent the Holy Spirit into your heart to wake you up to this message, to allow you to understand it, to accept it, to trust in it. And to his disciples, John says, you haven't got that. You haven't received what I've taught you. Verse 28, you yourselves can testify that I said, I am not the Messiah, but am sent ahead of him. So why are you still with me? Why are you not with Christ now? I've told you who he is. Why are you hanging around me as though I am your Savior? You heard me witness to him. You know where he is. What are you doing still here? And then in verse 29, the bride belongs to the bridegroom. The friend who attends the bridegroom waits and listens for him and is full of joy when he hears the bridegroom's voice. That joy is mine, and it is now complete. There's this picture that runs all the way through the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, and it is a picture of human marriage as an image of the everlasting relationship between God and his people, between Christ, the bridegroom, and the church, his bride. And John the Baptist picks up on that image, and he puts himself into it. John's disciples think he is the best. John says, no, at most, I'm the best man. This is not my wedding. And if Jesus' bride comes to him when he calls, then the sound of Jesus' voice is music to my ears. Nothing fills me with joy more than people leaving me and going to Jesus. It's so easy when we find ourselves in a position of leadership to not have this heart, or to put on a superficial pretense of it in words only. When people start following us, becoming our disciples, it's kind of flattering. When our numbers are big, when whatever ministry we have seems to be attracting praise, seems to be attracting positive attention from others, we can so easily start to think, this is because of me. And then forget or delay in sending others on to Christ. We can play along a bit to kind of allow that attachment to us to stay for a little bit longer so we can enjoy the spotlight. Allow ourselves to slip into the place of Christ in people's hearts. Real Christian leadership is not about standing in the way of Jesus. It is standing along the way to Jesus, pointing others in that direction. This is John. This is mature Christian leadership. His joy is complete, not when people come to him, but when people come to Jesus, whether through him or not. That's mature leadership. And so he says, he must become greater. I must become less. People must realize Jesus is greater. People must realize John is less. This needs to be a less John, more Jesus ministry. This needs to be a less Graham, more Jesus ministry. Just think, what would it mean for you to have a less you more Jesus ministry. And then just in case we're not sure why, John again reminds us why it has to be more Jesus. Like happened last week in that passage, there was a dialogue, there was a conversation. And then after recording the conversation for us, John, the author, gives us an explanation, kind of tagged on to the end. And here he is explaining why Jesus must become greater, why Jesus must be seen as greater and John must be seen as less. Why less John, more Jesus? Verse 31. The one who comes from above is above all. The one who is from the earth belongs to the earth and speaks as one from the earth. The one who comes from heaven is above all. He testifies to what he has seen and heard. But no one accepts his testimony. Whoever has accepted it has certified that God is truthful, for the one whom God sent speaks the words of God, for God gives the Spirit without limit. Father loves the Son and has placed everything in his hands. Why should it be more Jesus? Because Jesus is more. He is God above. He is sent down by the Father with the Spirit given to him without limit. He is God on high, come down to earth to live as one of us. We say that so much, I think sometimes we become too familiar with that. We lose the awesome majesty in that statement. Jesus is God, come down to earth. The Almighty God who created everything, who created us, become one of us. John and me, all other teachers are from the earth. We can only speak as those from the earth. When Jesus speaks, he speaks as one from heaven. He speaks the very words of God, the very words that built the universe, that commanded nothing to become something, and it did. The words of God are God's way to create, to destroy, to reveal himself, to judge and to save. The words of God reveal to us the mind of God, the will of God, the heart of God. When Jesus is speaking, these are the words that he is speaking. Last week in John chapter 3, Jesus told us we can only enter eternal life in God's kingdom if we are born of the Spirit. This is building on something that's been happening in the opening chapters of John's Gospel, because in chapter 1, John the Baptist was preaching and telling us Jesus is the one who baptizes the Spirit. And now in chapter 3, verse 34, we are told he's been given the Spirit without limit. We need the Holy Spirit to believe. Jesus has the Holy Spirit without limit, ready to pour out on us, to baptize in the Spirit whoever he wants so they can be born of the Spirit, so they can believe in him, so they can have life. Jesus is sent by the Father. He is beloved by the Father. He has the Spirit without measure. He has all things in his hands. He is above all. There is no comparison between John and Jesus. There is no reason to cling to John when there is Jesus. He is more. And that all crystallizes in the closing verse there, in verse 36. It all comes down to how you are responding to Jesus. Not how you are responding to those who teach you about Jesus, it comes down to whether you follow where they point you and go to Christ or not, because whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. But whoever rejects the Son will not see life. God's wrath remains on them. Who can lift that heavy weight of the wrath of God? Who can lift that crushing judgment off your shoulders? No other name but Jesus, right? Can John? Can those teachers who you admire, who you respect, who you cling to? Can you pray to them to do it for you? There are just two options: believe the Son or reject him. God is not going to be fooled by us simply being around Christian teachers. We need to respond to believe in the Son. We need to leave John and come to Jesus. Less John, more Jesus, because Jesus is more. Who is more and who is less in your heart today? Let me come back to those two dangers, the disciples' danger and the teacher's danger. What does more Jesus mean for the disciple? Whoever that John is in your life, whoever those teachers, those mentors that you respect, those who have guided you towards Christ, we don't need to get rid of them. God has sent us these teachers for building up his church. They're a good thing. But let's consider carefully how we relate to our mentors, our teachers. Let's be careful they don't slip into a place which belongs to Christ. Let's be sure to follow where they are pointing us. Would we be able to continue in our faith if God took these teachers away from us, as he sometimes does? So that's the test, really. Am I following John or am I following Jesus? And then what does more Jesus mean for the teacher? It means less me. It means watching out that we are not seeking our own increase, that we're not seeking to build ourselves up in other people's lives, rather than build Christ up. That we're not subtly trying to attract attention, to attract dependence on us, to just sneak into that savior role in people's lives. That we're not trying to insert ourselves in as the essential piece of the puzzle that nobody can survive without. Do you want people to hear you and think, what a great teacher? Or do you want people to hear you and think, what a great Jesus? Which of those attracts you more? Jesus is more than any of us. The church is his bride. It's not mine. It's not yours. And there's one last thing that we can learn from John here as we close. it should be obvious that eternal life is good news, that it is great joy. But for John the Baptist, that joy becomes complete when more people share it. We have this joy that we've been saved by Jesus, we've been saved from the wrath of God, we've been given eternal life in Christ, and that joy bursts forth every time we think of it, every time we come together and sing of it. But for John, that joy reaches new heights when he's bringing others to Christ. Reaches heights greater than he could get by bringing others to himself, by keeping people close to himself. That's just a pale imitation of the joy that is on offer when we lead others to Christ. Isn't it even more joyful? If you're honest, think of those moments, if you've had them, where you've been able to play some small part in somebody coming to Christ. Doesn't that just cap off the joy that you have in Christ, that now you can share it with them, that they have their own eternal life, their own living relationship with God? Let's not seek that cheap joy of people following us. Let's not stand in the way of people coming to Christ. Let's stand along the way, pointing people to Christ. He must become greater. I must become less. Less me, more Jesus. Let's pray. He must become greater, I must become less. Lord, that is my prayer for each one of us tonight, that Christ would be seen as greater than anything else for each one of us, that you would show us more and more, that Jesus is more, that Jesus is more than all the other people who we meet, the other people who we admire, even the other people who help us to know Christ more. Jesus is more. Lord, teach us to see that. Teach us to love him more. In his precious name we pray. Amen.